Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome into the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. I'm grateful for you checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app, brought to you by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. It's an all-vols edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. Tennessee had some preseason honors rolled out for John Fulkerson and Eve Pons. There was also a really nice piece about Fulkerson by Chris Dorch of Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. You've heard him on this podcast before. He joined our afternoon drive show Sports Talk on Thursday afternoon. So you will hear some of his comments about Fulkerson, about Tennessee. Really great piece. I would encourage you to check it out at the Blue Ribbon Substack page for Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. You know that Dorch is high on Tennessee this season. He's also very high on Fulkerson. We'll talk more about that. Where do the Vols rank in the preseason AP Top 25 poll? We'll break that down and take a look at the rankings. And the media picks for the SEC are out this year as well. We'll go over all of that. Where does Tennessee stand? What is the expectation for the Vols this year from a media perspective? We know what they are internally within the Vols basketball program, and we certainly know what they are within the city of Knoxville. What does the rest of SEC country think about Rick Barnes' team and the Tennessee Volunteers? So all of that coming up on this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast, and we start out with the preseason top 25 poll. And as expected, Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova, that's your 1, 2, 3. We kind of expected that it would be those three teams. And if I had to guess, I would have said that's probably the order I would have thrown out there. Virginia also received a first place vote, the only other team outside of those three to do so. They are the number 4 team in college basketball, but the gap is very significant. Total points in the voting for Gonzaga, 1541, Baylor, 1540, so a very thin margin and just 4 first place votes separating Gonzaga and Baylor, and then Villanova down at 1501, so the gap's really not that wide either between 2 and 3, Villanova taking 11 first place votes, Virginia 1364, so a very big gap between Virginia and Villanova, so the gap between 3 and 4 is nearly 3 times the size in terms of ranking points as the gap between 1 and 3. Iowa is down further at number 5. Kansas at number 6. Wisconsin is the second highest ranked team in the Big Ten at number 7, immediately followed by Illinois at number 8. Duke is the second highest ranked ACC team at number 9. Kentucky is the first SEC team on the board at number 10. Creighton is number 11. Tennessee is number 12. There are no other SEC teams in the top 25. LSU is in the others receiving votes category right behind Michigan, which is 25th in the country. LSU technically at number 26. You've got Florida at number 28, Alabama at 29. And then you have Auburn also receiving a couple of votes as you get farther down the list. So just 2 teams ranked in the top 25 in the SEC. It is still expected to be a deep conference. You've been seeing Joe Lunardi with 6 or 7 teams in his way too early bracketology throughout the course of the offseason. And I think Tennessee will obviously be in the mix for the SEC. And I do think the SEC will have roughly 6 or so teams into the NCAA tournament, especially if teams are able to overcome some of these other injuries like Arkansas and Alabama that have already dealt with some attrition. Arkansas losing Isaiah Joe to the NBA draft. Auburn lost a lot to attrition, but voters seem to think more highly of Auburn than Arkansas. And Arkansas has good talent coming in. They have a good recruiting class and a transfer class coming in. Auburn has a great recruiting class for this year, but it is losing so many crucial pieces from a year ago. LSU is returning a lot of pieces. Florida losing a couple, keeping a couple, losing Kerry Blackshear, losing Andrew Nembhard to the transfer portal as he went over to Gonzaga, but getting Keontae Johnson and Scotty Lewis back is very important. So you have some give and take there with Florida. Alabama, you liked what Nate Oates did in his first year, and the fact that he has John Petty coming back is obviously very helpful. LSU just was so much talent. I'm kind of surprised they're not ranked in the top 25, but it felt like a deep NCAA tournament field last year, and with so much uncertainty surrounding the college basketball season, the delays in the draft, it was just so much about, okay, well, who's going to come back and who's going to go? So some of these teams that had surprisingly solid seasons last year are still ranked in the top 25 because they didn't lose so much to attrition, such as Rutgers and UCLA and Houston, and Arizona State has high expectations getting Remy Martin coming back. So you're seeing a number of teams. And then plus you have the bounce back seasons. West Virginia was kind of down a couple years ago when they played Tennessee. They start the season at number 15. Texas Tech, they really faded down the stretch, but getting the transfers that they had coming in was obviously very important. And so they're starting the season at number 14. Mac McClung, obviously headlining that transfer class for the Red Raiders. And then North Carolina, which had just a dismal season with Roy Williams and everything that they had going on there, Cole Anthony being injured for as long as he was. But even when he was there, it was not a great North Carolina team. Obviously expected to bounce back and do some good things. They start the season ranked at number 16. But Tennessee, the highest ranked SEC team besides Kentucky, second highest ranked SEC team at number 12, Kentucky at number 10. And again, those are the only two SEC schools ranked in the AP preseason top 25. So Tennessee kind of in the range where you thought they were going to be. Doing a quick glance, I don't know if I see Virginia as the fourth best team in the country. I don't know if I'm looking at Virginia and saying, yeah, I think they have a good shot to be a number one seed. And Tony Bennett's done that a bunch of times before. He's now a national championship winning coach over at Virginia. But I don't know if I would have started them at number four. And there's often reaction with the transfer portal news. And that's how Kentucky jumped Tennessee, is getting Olivier Saar immediately eligible from Wake Forest, coming over to Kentucky. He gets his immediate eligibility along with a couple of other transfers that came in, and suddenly Kentucky has all this talent and depth to go with the incoming freshman class that John Calipari has brought in. Creighton, I think I was kind of surprised that they're not a top 10 team. They're right in front of Tennessee at number 11 with Marcus Zagorowski coming back, as well as a couple other key players. I thought Creighton was going to be a top 10 team. The Big East could be a lot of fun this year. It does look more like a two-horse race now. I'm not expecting a whole lot from Seton Hall. They're unranked to start the season, but not having Miles Powell, you're just going to lose so much offense with him. And I realize that they beat a top 10 Maryland team last year without him and without Sandro Mumukalashvili in the lineup. And Mumukalashvili is coming back this year. He's going to be the one to watch for the Pirates. Kevin Willard, it's really unfortunate for him because he hasn't been to the Sweet 16 yet since taking over for Seton Hall more than 5 years ago. And last year, he was going to be very likely to do it after Seton Hall was in a three-way tie for a share of the Big East regular season title. Villanova is far and away the heavy favorite. Creighton, I think, could become a dark horse into spoiling the party in the Big East and then maybe being even a higher seed in the NCAA tournament. But that all depends on how effective Zagorowski is coming back from that knee injury he suffered late last season. So looking at the top 10, that's probably the things that stand out to me. Wisconsin, I had been seeing them ranked a lot around that 9-10 range. Seeing them at number 7 is a few spots higher than I would have expected. Illinois sitting at number 8. I would have had Illinois ahead of Wisconsin, quite honestly. With Dosunmu and Coburn both electing to come back, Brad Underwood's team is so good. You've heard me talk about that for so long. But I really think Illinois could compete for the Big Ten with Iowa. I think that to see those schools, what they've been able to do and accrue talent, Iowa, of course, being at number 5, I don't know if they're a top 5 team. They're easily a top 10 team. Luka Garza is going to be a front runner for the National Player of the Year Award, the Wooden Award, you name it. He's going to be on that ballot. He's going to be on the watch list. Kansas at number 6, losing some talent, but as usual, going to be a good team over there. And I think for what they missed out on, because it was a team that potentially could have won the national championship last year, Kansas is going to be a really good team in the Big 12 with Baylor. That's going to be fun to watch, just seeing somebody that is going to be expected to take the Big 12 title away from the Jayhawks is going to be really interesting. And what Scott Drew has done at Baylor with the situation that he took over all those years ago and the talent that he has now, key players that he has returning Baylor's going to be very, very good. Gonzaga still the preseason number one team in the nation despite losing Philip Petrushev, who opted to go back overseas and play professionally instead of returning to Gonzaga. So Tennessee at number 12, second highest ranked SEC team behind Kentucky. 11 or 12 is kind of what we thought. It feels low, maybe because Kentucky's in front of Tennessee, but on a more SEC concentrated focus, you'll see a bit of a different view for the Volunteers, and we'll get to that more later in the podcast. So breaking down the top 25, that's what we're looking at. Tennessee as the 12th ranked team in college basketball. I also wonder about Florida State, ranked number 21. That's another one that I'll throw out there that I think could finish with a higher ranking than they are starting at this point in time. But what Hamilton had at Tallahassee last year, and again, I've poked fun at, you know, when the Florida government elected to just declare Florida State the national basketball champions because they were in the running for it. I don't know how I feel about that, but Ken Pomeroy with the Ken Pom rankings has his early projections out as well. He has Baylor as the number one team in college basketball with Gonzaga number two. He actually has Duke number three and Villanova at number four. So Duke, which is coming in ninth in the AP preseason poll, Ken Pom suggesting the metrics would mean you should be a little bit higher on Duke as opposed to Virginia, which was ranked fourth in the preseason poll, and he actually has Virginia down at number 16. So that's just what I'm thinking, and I like Jay Huff a lot. I like the talent that Virginia had come back. They started to get things going late in the season, but I thought they were just too spotty. I wasn't going to trust them to make some deep run. It was looking more like some of the Tony Bennett teams you saw from 4 or 5 years ago. Okay, 3, 4, 5 seed, plays really good defense, can get you out of a rhythm, can frustrate you. I just wasn't expecting that to be a team that was going to go to the Final Four this past season. And so Virginia being outside the top 10 is probably closer to where I would have had them. And seeing schools like Texas Tech getting Mac McClung, Kentucky getting all these other transfers eligible, Virginia having the talent coming back, these are the schools that I've seen kind of projecting upward a little bit more. And for what it's worth, Texas Tech, sixth in the KenPom rankings, despite being outside the top 10 in the preseason AP rankings. Wisconsin is actually seventh in both. So the seventh ranked KenPom team and then the seventh ranked team in the preseason AP poll. What about the SEC? Kentucky is number 11 in the KenPom rankings. Tennessee is 20th, with the offense being ranked 25th in adjusted offensive efficiency, the defense being 20th. This is expected to be a very good defensive team, especially with the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year and Eve Pons returning to Knoxville instead of going to the NBA draft. So Tennessee sitting at 20 in the KenPom rankings, 20th in defense, 25th in offense. And I will throw out this stat that I have thrown out many times on the air and on this podcast. In the KenPom era, which goes all the way back to 2002, there has never been a national champion. So no team has ever won the NCAA tournament without being ranked in the top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. So right now, based on the preseason polls, that would not expect Tennessee to win the national championship. And I think from a national perspective, that's not really the focal point anyway. Baylor, Gonzaga, Villanova, those are the three teams that are going to have the most preseason hype. And if you're going by the KenPom rankings, some of the usual suspects are there, and some teams that have been in the conversation in recent years are there as well. Duke, Kansas, teams that are normally in that running, 3 and 5 in the KenPom rankings. Texas Tech and Wisconsin, two teams that have been national runners-up in the last 6 years, are 6th and 7th, respectively. You have West Virginia at number 8, Texas at number 9, Ohio State at number 10. Those are three teams that I'm not expecting to finish in the top 10 by the time we get to the end of the season. And Huggins, there's been some conversation around West Virginia about what he could do with that team. They had a down year 2 years ago, bounced back last year, looked much improved. See what they do this upcoming season with the talent that they have coming in. Oscar Tshiebwe had a great freshman campaign. Expect him to make more of an impact for the Mountaineers this year. Kentucky, Iowa, Creighton, Louisville, Michigan State, Virginia, Michigan, Illinois, Florida State, Tennessee at number 20. Chris Dortch from Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook, very high on Tennessee. You know that already, but He joined Sports Talk, our afternoon drive show, on Thursday afternoon about his piece that he wrote on John Fulkerson. Hear what he had to say about the Vols. Hear what he had to say about Fulkerson. Very strong comments about both. You'll hear those coming up next on the Behind the Arc podcast. I appreciate you checking out Behind the Arc. Again, if you're listening on Apple Podcast, hit that 5-star rating, leave a review, hit the subscribe button, tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. Exciting stuff with the season just 2 weeks away. Tennessee ranked number 12 in the preseason AP poll. Chris Dorch of Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook wrote a very lengthy feature on John Fulkerson. It is worth the read, though, and I encourage you to check it out at Blue Ribbon's Substack page. You can also follow Chris Dorch on Twitter and find the article there. But this is a great piece on John Fulkerson. And when he first joined our afternoon drive show, Sports Talk, with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hyams on Thursday afternoon, you'll hear Dorch starting to talk about the team that Rick Barnes has assembled at Tennessee this year and how good he thinks that team is. And then he'll discuss John Fulkerson and the great story that he's been leading up to Fulkerson's late success last season. Here's Chris Dorch of Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook.
I think this is the best team at Tennessee since the Bernie and Ernie days. I know that's crazy. I covered the 08 team. I was at Memphis when they beat Memphis to get to number one. This team has as much quality depth, as much length, as much as athleticism, and obviously super well coached as any they've had. And it's just, to me, it's great. It's a testimony for Fulkerson of perseverance. And, you know, you guys know this. In the internet age, it's a quick fix society. And this is so pervasive in college basketball. We see so many kids transferring, you know. It doesn't work out. They leave right away. Well, Folky got hurt as a freshman just as he was starting to come into his own. And, you know, he was doing the right thing. He set up for a charge. He got knocked to the floor, dislocated his elbow, and broke his wrist. Then he's okay. A few months later, he's lifting weights again, trying to do the right thing. Tears up his shoulder. So, I don't know. Then a couple of years back after that, he wasn't playing. He could have just as easily checked out and gone somewhere else and thought the grass was greener. But, you know, everybody knew what they had in John Fulkerson, most of all Rick Barnes. And they were going to push and push and prod until he realized his potential. And last year, it was like a light switch came on about midway through. He might have been, down the stretch, the most dominant player in the SEC. And from all accounts, from everybody I've talked to, and I talked to 10 people for this story, he is ready for a great, I don't know if you call it a senior year. It may not be a senior year. He has the option to come back for a sixth year. And selfishly, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but people are telling me as I research this story that he has a shot. And I know you guys remember Bobby Jones from the 76ers. Mm-hmm. A couple of people liken John Fulkerson to Bobby Jones, and he was a 12-time All-NBA defensive player.
Strong words from Chris Dorch about Tennessee's basketball team, about John Fulkerson. The best team since the Ernie and Bernie days. There have been two really good teams in the last 4 years at Tennessee, and that includes a Sweet 16 team that tied the school record for wins and had four players on that roster that are now playing in the NBA, and Jordan Bone, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Kyle Alexander. So for that team to be considered maybe an afterthought compared to what Chris Dorch is expecting out of Tennessee this year, and again, Dorch is a longtime friend of our radio station. He's been on our podcast before. He does not just watch Tennessee basketball. He covers every team, looks at every team, every conference, every league, all the matchups, and believes that Tennessee is a top five team in college basketball. Tennessee ranks fifth in the Blue Ribbon preseason top 25 poll. Again, in the AP poll that came out earlier this week, Tennessee sitting at number 12. But he believes that this is the best team that Rick Barnes has ever assembled in terms of depth, in terms of talent, and Fulkerson is a big part of that. And now the expectation is that Fulkerson could wind up in the NBA just like those other guys. And reading this piece by Dortch, and some of these comments we've heard before, talking about when Fulkerson first got injured, you know, before that, the coaching staff thought that Fulkerson was the best player in that recruiting class that included Grant Williams. And Grant Williams went on to be a first-round pick in the NBA draft and was playing key minutes for the Celtics during their playoff run to the Eastern Conference Finals. And Fulkerson was expected to be better. And Williams is quoted in this article saying Fulkerson is better. And Rick Barnes has said before, you know, he was kind of frustrated early on when Fulkerson came back from the injury and Fulkerson just kind of accepted his role as a team guy behind Kyle Alexander and Grant Williams in the front court. And Barnes was kind of pressing on him saying, don't you want to beat out Grant Williams? Don't you want to be better? And now Fulkerson is showing that he can be as good or better than Grant Williams with the run that he went on late last season. 27 points at Rupp Arena in a big come-from-behind win against Kentucky. A big, efficient offensive output, including his first career-made three-pointer in the come-from-behind win against Florida. 19 points in the loss to Auburn in the regular season finale. And now the expectations are sky high. While obviously there was a lot of attention during the offseason on Pons, whether or not he was going to come back after winning SEC Defensive Player of the Year, elects to come back. That brings a lot of excitement to Tennessee. But Fulkerson maybe isn't getting talked about enough from a national standpoint. The SEC has taken notice of him. Tennessee is obviously very high on him. Folks in Knoxville know all about him. But John Fulkerson, maybe not getting the national recognition he deserves. And I say that knowing full well that just last week he was named on the watch list, one of 20 candidates on the watch list for the preseason Power Forward of the Year award, going to the top collegiate power forward. So I say all this knowing that that just happened. I still don't think Fulkerson gets enough attention for how good he has been for Tennessee, how good he was last season for Tennessee, what his potential could be, and what his work ethic has transformed into, because the work ethic wasn't necessarily there early on. Then it started to get better, and you heard Dortch talking about how while he was trying to get stronger in the weight room, that's when he tears his labrum, and now the work ethic has come full circle, and you're starting to see the same things that turned Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield from three-star recruits into NBA draft picks, all SEC players, awards finalists, and in Grant Williams' case, an All-American. So for Tennessee, John Fulkerson still a big piece of the success that Tennessee is hoping to have this year. And if Tennessee is having a lot of success, if Tennessee moves from being the 12th ranked team in the country to a top 10 team, and we're talking about the Vols potentially getting to the Elite Eight for only the second time in school history or the program's first Final Four appearance, chances are John Fulkerson is going to be doing what he did against Kentucky and Florida all season long for Tennessee. So really great piece by Chris Dortch. Again, Chris Dortch, Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. Check out the piece, the article on John Fulkerson. There's great stuff. There's quotes from assistant coaches, former assistant coach Rob Lanier, who's now at Georgia State. Quotes from Grant Williams in that article. It's a lengthy read, but it is so worth it. It is so well done by Chris Dortch. And again, you can hear the full interview that Dortch had with our afternoon drive show Sports Talk with John and Jimmy on the Sports Animal app and our website, 991thesportsanimal.com. What does the SEC think of Tennessee? What does the SEC think of John Fulkerson and the rest of the Volunteers basketball program? Where Tennessee stacks up? Preseason SEC media picks coming up next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, really appreciate you being here on the Behind the Arc podcast with me, Joel Silverberg. Feel free to give a shout out at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. If you have a college basketball question, let me know. I'll get to it on the next edition of Behind the Arc. The SEC media released its preseason picks for the college basketball season. Tennessee is the preseason favorite, according to the media poll. The top three is, as we expected, Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU. And I expected Tennessee and Kentucky to be 1 and 2 in some order. I wasn't sure if the media poll would actually come out with Tennessee being number one. Sometimes you're in that mindset, even as media members, where you have to see it to believe it. You have to see somebody knock off Kentucky for it to actually happen. And there's been other tournament champions, Auburn winning it a couple years ago. Obviously, we didn't get to see what would have happened this past year due to the coronavirus pandemic. But Tennessee picked to be number one. Kentucky number two, LSU number three, Florida at four. Keontae Johnson has garnered more and more national attention as the offseason's gone on. I'm not high on Florida. I think four for Florida is too high, and I realize that kind of comes with Alabama, Arkansas, and Auburn. You're not really sure what you're going to get out of those teams. Ole Miss was receiving a lot of positivity throughout the offseason. That kind of tailed off and slowed down. They are actually picked to finish ninth in the preseason poll. Alabama's at five. Arkansas is at six. Auburn is at seven. For me, it's just hard to trust Florida when you consider this team was picked to finish sixth, or picked sixth in the preseason AP poll and finished unranked, looked terrible at times. And that was with Kerry Blackshear. That was with Andrew Nembhard. And Mike White has really underachieved since making that Elite Eight appearance a few years ago. And I just don't trust Mike White with this Florida basketball program. And last year, you were looking at Florida being an 8 or a 9 seed if they got into the tournament. That was after being a preseason top six team. So I can't take Florida as a top four team in the SEC. Do I think they have top four talent? Yes. Do I think they're a top four team? No, I just don't see, unless Keontae Johnson just goes off and dominates the entire league, I just don't see how Florida continues to have that type of success when you have a coach that underachieved with key players in the transfer portal, winning the Kerry Blackshear sweepstakes, and you're just not getting a whole lot out of some of the key players that you had last year. Scotty Lewis at times was good. At other times, it was kind of indifferent for Florida's basketball team. Johnson's great. I think Keontae Johnson's fantastic, but what is he really going to do? And he is your preseason SEC player of the year, by the way. The all-SEC teams, no surprise for most of these. Brandon Boston Jr., the incoming freshman for Kentucky, is on the team. But some of the usual suspects from guys returning: John Petty Jr. from Alabama, Johnson from Florida, obviously. Trendon Watford from LSU, the former five-star recruit that opted to come back this year. John Fulkerson from Tennessee, making the first team all-SEC to start the preseason. Second team All-SEC, Olivier Saar from Kentucky, the grad transfer from Wake Forest, which has helped propel Kentucky in front of Tennessee for a lot of preseason top 25 polls. Javonte Smart from LSU, another key backcourt player for LSU that elected to come back this year. Drew Smith, the veteran player from Missouri. AJ Lawson, really talented player for South Carolina. Savion Flagg from Texas A&M. Buzz Williams is going to do some good things in College Station. I thought he was a good coach at Virginia Tech. He surpassed expectations in year one at Texas A&M. I thought the Aggies were going to be the worst team in the SEC, with maybe the exception of Vanderbilt this past season. But Flagg helped Texas A&M to some really good things. Williams showed that he can win in this league. It's going to take him a little bit more time. I don't think you're going to see that drastic turnaround in year two, but I do think that eventually year three, year four, you're really going to start seeing the progress with Buzz Williams at Texas A&M. They are picked to finish 11th, by the way, in the SEC. I think that might be too low based on what we saw last year. You might see Texas A&M surprise you. And also making the SEC all SEC second team, Eve Pons, the reigning conference defensive player of the year. So a couple of Tennessee players, that front court, very important for Tennessee, getting some preseason recognition. But I stand by what I said in the previous segment, Fulkerson maybe not getting the national attention that he deserves, despite being on some watch lists for some national awards in the preseason. The SEC has also released its men's basketball schedule, so we finally have more games to talk about with Tennessee, and I realize that Charlotte, VCU, they're still kind of in the workings for that. Tennessee's going to have its multi-team event. You've got the VCU game that's still being finalized. Kansas is set for the SEC Big 12 Challenge on January 30th, and then we're still waiting for finalization, though it has been reported December 2nd, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Gonzaga. That's a big one for Tennessee, and I would love for the Vols to be able to get that Wisconsin game on the schedule. The SEC schedule will start on Tuesday, December 29th, and Wednesday, December 30th. You'll see all 14 teams playing over those 2 days. Tennessee will start its conference schedule on the road at Missouri on Wednesday, December 30th. And then Tennessee's SEC home opener will be Saturday, January 2nd against Alabama. That's a good team that Nate Oates has. I thought he did really well in year one, and I thought they were a borderline, they were a fringe bubble team until you got to the last week of the regular season, just took some losses that they shouldn't have. And they were set to go up against Tennessee in the 8-9 matchup. And I don't know who would have won that game. Tennessee got a win earlier in the year. John Petty coming back really helps the Crimson Tide a lot. Tennessee will then play Arkansas on January 6th. That game is at home. They will head to Texas A&M on January 9th, head to South Carolina on January 12th, host Vanderbilt on January 16th, head to Florida on January 19th, host Missouri on January 23rd, host Mississippi State on January 26th. The Vols will then head to Ole Miss on February 2nd, head to Kentucky. So the game at Rupp Arena is on February 6th. That's a big rivalry game too, by the way. That's a big rivalry night because it's not just Tennessee at Kentucky, but that is also the first meeting for North Carolina and Duke in the ACC this year. They will play on February 6th and March 6th. So pretty easy to remember that there. Tennessee will host Florida on February 10th. They will head to LSU on February 13th. Tennessee will host South Carolina on February 16th, host Kentucky on February 20th. So the Vols and the Wildcats will face off 2 weeks apart, first at Rupp Arena, then at Thompson Bowling. Tennessee will head to Vanderbilt in Nashville on Wednesday, February 24th, head to Auburn on February 27th, and will host Georgia for Senior Day on Wednesday, March 3rd. And hey, the last time Tennessee hosted Georgia to cap off the regular season worked out well for the Vols. They rallied, won in the second half, ended up clinching a share of the SEC regular season title. So Tennessee has games on the schedule, and a lot of them. Having that SEC schedule is going to be good. The last day of the SEC schedule is that Wednesday, March 3rd. The SEC tournament will start March 10th and go through the 14th leading up to Selection Sunday. So Tennessee's got games on the schedule. We're hoping for the best with this college basketball season set to start in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. Again, Apple Podcasts, Google, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, and on the Sports Animal app, powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. And Tennessee's wings in Eve Pons and Keon Johnson, if you see him starting to play outside a little bit more. And it's a bad attempt at a pun, but going to see them trying to change it all for Tennessee in terms of the makeup of the history of the college basketball program at Tennessee, trying to get to just the second Elite Eight and first Final Four in program history. We appreciate Chris Dorch for joining Sports Talk earlier today. You heard his comments. He believes that this is the best team since the Ernie and Bernie days and the best team that Rick Barnes has ever had. Thank you for listening. We'll do it again next week. 2 weeks until the college basketball season is upon us. You're listening to the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.